from the prophet Isaiah. Apart from me, all is nothing. I am the Lord, unrivaled. I form the light and create the dark. I make good fortune and create calamity. It is I, the Lord, who do all this. Send victory like a dew, you heavens, and let the clouds rain it down. Let the earth open for salvation to spring up. Let deliverance too bud forth, which I, the Lord, shall create. Yes, thus says the Lord, creator of the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who set it firm, created it no chaos, but a place to be lived in. I am the Lord unrivaled. There is no other God besides me, a God of integrity and a Saviour. There is none apart from me. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God unrivaled. By my own self I swear it. What comes from my mouth is truth, a word irrevocable. Before me every knee shall bend, by me every tongue shall swear, saying, from the Lord alone come victory and strength. To him shall come ashamed all who raged against him. Victorious and glorious through the Lord shall be all the descendants of Israel. And our gospel reading from the Gospel according to Luke. John, summoning two of his disciples, sent them to the Lord to ask, are you the one who is to come, or must we wait for someone else? When the men reached Jesus, they said, John the Baptist has sent us to you to ask, are you the one who is to come, or have we to wait for someone else? It was just then that he cured many people of diseases and afflictions and of evil spirits, and gave the gift of sight to many who were blind. Then he gave the messengers their answer. Go back and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind see again, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, the good news is proclaimed to the poor, and happy is the man who does not lose faith in me. Well, as I suggested, I think a suitable topic for our reflection today would be learning that it's all for God's sake. When you listen to that first reading from the passage of Isaiah, you could be forgiven for thinking that God has an almighty ego. The voice of God, mediated through the human words of the prophecy, makes massive and exclusive claims. Listen to it. I am God unrivaled. I make good fortune and I create calamity. By me every tongue shall swear, saying, from the Lord alone come victory and strength, and so on. But when we think about it a bit, the most important thing for human beings is to know and acknowledge that there is only one God who alone can save humanity from itself. We human beings may fail and do fail often to establish peace and to do justice. But the text of Isaiah claims that no evil escapes God's judgment, and God will punish all evildoers for the evil they do. That's the meaning, as I see it, of that disturbing statement in the prophecy, I create calamity. Punishment will certainly be experienced as a calamity by the evildoers, but it is part of God's good purpose to purge evil and to enshrine good in its place. The Bible's claim is that unless we know and acknowledge the truth about God, how can we know and see the truth about ourselves? Furthermore, the claim that God is on about God above all is another important faith claim. After all, it is to the glory of God that humanity, God's creation, achieves its purpose and reaches its fulfillment. As the early church theologian Irenaeus put it, the glory of God is the human being fully alive. And so the Bible keeps instructing us about the truth of God even harping on it, because we have this seemingly innate and fatal tendency to create God in our own image and likeness. Rather than be remade in the image and likeness of God, we prefer to imagine God, or even to try to turn God into something of our own making or liking. And we can see this same tendency in our dealings with one another. How often do we expect our neighbours and others to conform to our ideas of them, rather than to change our idea of them to fit the reality that they are? Our gospel for today from Luke provides us with a way of remedying, or perhaps rectifying, this tendency. John the Baptist has preached a message about Jesus, has in effect communicated an idea or ideas of Jesus to his audience, and now he is disturbed by what he hears about Jesus. It seems to John that Jesus is not conforming to his expectations and hopes. Yet, rather than demand that Jesus conforms to these expectations, John sends messengers to ask Jesus about himself. John is prepared to learn, and Jesus sends his disciples back with instructions about what he says and does, knowing that John has the right attitude to the truth. "Go back," says Jesus, "and tell John what you have seen and heard." So the ones who are willing, like John, to learn and to change are the ones who are open to the truth, and who will, with the help of God's grace, discover that truth. Primarily, the truth about God, and through it, the truth about themselves and about their neighbours. So as we near the feast of Christmas, in this penitential Advent season, let us pray for the grace to be learners, and for the courage to change our views, rather than impose them on others.